the idea of like paying a just a boatload of money to get your name on a building, like I don't know what that does for you. Like
clearly there is, you know, testimony from companies where they're like, sure it paid off big time. You know, like crypto.com, that was the one we were talking about last week in LA. The Lakers and Clippers are going to be at crypto.com arena. And yep. When Scotiabank took over the ACC after 20 years, that was the largest naming rights deal, I believe, in North American sports history.
Yes, it was.
And clearly Scotiabank was like, this is, you know, you're not going to do it just...
But what happens, though? Like, people go to the game, and then they're on their way home, and they're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go to Scotiabank.
No, it's not. That's not how
advertising
works. I don't know what...
But how many times, sorry to interrupt, how many times have we associated... It used to be the ACC for 100 years, right?
Right.
Like, you know, Air Canada Center. Like that.
But what
is,
I'm getting at, my point is, what is the point when you say you're going to the game and you're saying the word Scotiabank Arena? How does that benefit?
It's advertising. It's subliminal.
Yeah, it's advertising.
It's in your mind. It's not just the people that are going there. It's any. We talk about it down at Scotiabank tonight. The broadcasters talk about it. It's in print. You know, if Springsteen rolls through town, it's at Scotiabank. You know, it's just advertising that you've got to pay to play the game. You know, if you're one of the big boys, you got to keep your name out there. That's the nature of the beast. It's worked very well. You know, that's capitalism. I'm not saying anyone walks into Scotiabank and goes, I like it. CIBC, you're out. TD, see you later. I'm
that's
a Scotiabank
what I don't
guy.
Get.
No
like,
one
I
does
don't
that.
Get it.
No
like
one
you
does
go to
it.
A baseball game and it's like, well... Gotta get that TV now. Like I
no, of course
I,
not.
I don't know.
Of course
know,
not.
Man.
But it's out there. It's in the universe, right? It's a
You're
part
right.
of
it is. It
the
is.
General conversation. And there's
That's
value.
That's why crypto.com. I have that app, the crypto.com.
Oh, is it an app? Okay. I like
Well, there's
it.
An app too. I've got a crypto.com app where you can add it to your trust wallet and all of that fun stuff.
I'm wondering if I should dangle a little in crypto. I'm so ignorant, as I established last week. I don't know enough about it. I don't really understand it. I guess, you know, what I've read about it would suggest that it's way too volatile. But now, after what you said to me last week, it's locked in. It's locked and loaded. It's not going
it
anywhere.
Is,
the value's
going
to stop.
The fact that you
anywhere.
Just said crypto.com Areno, I want crypto.com.
Literally, we just proved the point. The two of us are going to get off. We're in crypto.com. Like, no one uses
crypto.
This stuff, though. This stuff doesn't even work. Two other buffoons on the same show just were like, I'm getting into the crypto.com app. I didn't know it was an app.
Now you're but there's like all different websites, Wealthsimple and Binance and all of them.
Oh,
but
sure.
Like, the point being is we brought it up and we had a discussion about it, upset some of the fans of the show because they're like, you guys are buffoons. You don't realize that crypto
is. Me in particular.
Is,
you were informed. I wasn't.
Let's ask CJ if he's ever been to an event at an arena and walked out and said, ah, Staples Center. I'm going to Staples.
The name rings a bell, and I like it. Is our TSN hockey insider Chris Johnston? Are you a sucker for quality advertising when it comes to the name of a stadium, CJ?
I don't think so, but I was trying to think, like, is there any arenas named after beer or something? Because I probably have left an arena and went and consumed those products.
Absolutely. Molson Center forever, right?
Molson Center.
Absolutely. There you go. The Molson Center is probably the closest one. We're just seeing Molson all night made me want to continue that after the game was over.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. It works. We've dropped a ton of brands today. When Noodles, you were talking about the food places in California. Oh, you mentioned Harvey's. I guarantee you, minimum 30 people driving around Toronto said, I'm going to Harvey's right after you mentioned that. And we don't get any advertising.
Double Angus and an onion ring. You are set.
You are absolutely dialed in. Anyway, CJ,
I had a friend the other day just mentioned pizza, and I had to get pizza within a day. I was dying. I just couldn't shake it from my mind. So
it works.
There is something to it.
Advertising works. We're all dummies.
CJ, what do you
got to
get
dogs.
At pizza? What is there that you just had to have?
Oh man, I know that it gets like ragged on as bad pizza, but for me, I'm. Like, I can't get enough of it. So I get
What's
the Canadian usually.
The
I get
Canadian.
The Canadian with the bacon crumble, pepperoni, and mushroom is, like,
just
perfect for
over.
The dipping sauce.
You roll in and it's going in.
Hang on a second here, in. Dude. Dipping sauce for za is an absolute foul on this show.
No,
and we don't do it, and we don't want to hear
about it. I'm off the show then because I'm not going to walk it back. Like, I I'm too far down the dipping sauce rabbit hole.
Yeah,
dude,
I think
dipping sauce is unacceptable, and there's people that get these oils in these giant containers, and
I've
they're dumping
that.
It all over. It's offside. I call foul.
Little hot sauce every once in a while to mix it up. It's just about the palate explosion. There's nothing wrong with that. You're not. You just don't have it. You don't have the palate that CJ and I have. I think that's become abundantly clear.
The worst part too is my wife wants nothing to do with it, so I have to like time it when she's out of town, or if it's like my birthday when I can pull rank on the dinner. But like, she won't even look at it. She doesn't want it in the house when she's there. So
it's funny you mentioned that, man. I think I caught my neighbor today. He was home alone, and there was delivery that dropped off. I'm like, there's no one else in the house, and he had something up his sleeve. His wife wasn't home, and I was outside at the time. We made eye contact. He basically was like, you don't say a word on a Monday afternoon. This guy was ordering it, something that was a monstrosity, and I'll guarantee you the evidence is in shreds somewhere, you know, in a garbage bin somewhere downtown. The Leafs, what do you make of the Islanders right now, CJ? We were talking about them, and they were on the road as much as they were, and they're dealing with COVID, and Calgary goes out in there on Saturday, beats them. The Leafs go in there last night and beat them, and they just look like they got nothing, man. They got no life. They got no hop. Do you think they got enough to get this back on the rails? Could they be, you know, the next St. Louis Blues, or would you be more concerned in Long Island with what's going on?
Well, I'd definitely be concerned, but, you know, I still think that there's enough of the season for them to get it together, because, you know, they play a game that does have success as things tighten up. And obviously we've seen in the playoffs where they've had two pretty long playoff runs here, you know, because of that. And you know, I still think that they have within them the right players to still be that team. But, you know, you can't get around the fact that starting with that many games on the road, you know, only just getting home this weekend and you know, fortunately, you know, being... you know, being in New York, they could at least play some road games and still be sort of based locally. But, you know, that's got to be a grind. And, you know, they're dealing with COVID right now and have some players out. So they're in one, but I'm not going to write them off. I mean, I still think that they're going to be a playoff team. It's a long uphill battle, but now they got a bunch of home games. And you know, I do think in time that they'll find their way back.
Sorry to startle you there, CJ. That was Noodle's phone dying. I think he's out in California, and I think we might be back. We'll see what happens with Noodles. But, yeah, they've got a great coach. They've got the makings of a good team when they're healthy. And, they, you know, when you see them flying the Islanders, it's forecheck, it's pace, it's four lines, and I didn't see any of that last night. But Joseph Woll played, you know, well enough. Like, he got a shutout. That's an incredible achievement for him. Wasn't tested a lot. But what's your understanding of how the Leafs – feel about Joseph Woll, not necessarily on the short term, but long term, his future with the team?
Well, I think you're really encouraged by what you've seen probably for the last 2 weeks. If you're them, just even having him around the team, I mean, it says something here, right? We've talked about this a couple of times, but the fact that he was the one to get this call up, that you know, essentially they'd decided that they knew what Michael Hutchinson was and maybe wanted to see, you know, what might be behind door two here with Joseph Woll, you know, who's been in the organization, but, you know, hadn't played NHL games until last week here. And, you know, I think that they still believe, you know, certainly he's big enough physically as a goaltender. He's still young enough for, you know, look, we're seeing Jack Campbell emerge now as sort of this bona fide number one. We're touting him for Olympic teams. You know, he's almost 30. You know, there's not a linear path to development, especially at the goaltending position. And so, you know, I do think ideally, of course, they want Mrazek back, that, you know, you want Woll playing a lot of games in the AHL, but, you know, he's got a chance right now, almost the way I guess every guy has to dream of getting their opportunity. I think they didn't really have a better option under the circumstances. You know, they probably a little bit of fatigue of seeing, you know, Michael Hutchinson. You remember he did start a game against San Jose, you know, when Mrazek was hurt the first time. And so, you know, they're like, what could be harmed here by trying someone else? And Joseph Woll certainly, you know, he's holding up his end of the bargain in the games he's played.
CJ, do you think it's going to be a revolving door at left wing with Austin Matthews throughout the year? It seems like, you know, they're trying to get 34 going, and he hasn't been awful by any stretch, but he's not dominating like he used to as far as the goal total. Is that something where they want him focusing on different areas and team success is the most important? Zach Hyman being gone, like, how do you just wrap all that up and put it all together as far as 34's performance and who plays left wing?
Well, they're not immune to it. You know, it helps to when you have your players, maybe not some of your players not producing at the level you'd like when you've won 11 of 13. I think it makes it easier because there isn't, first of all, the intense media focus on it, but also, you know, the guys themselves, you know, can take some satisfaction. And, you know, with Austin, I don't know that, you know, you wonder, like, is this bounces? Is this the wrist surgery, or is this, you know, not having Zach Hyman, you know, being part of that line? You know, I would tend to maybe more lean towards just, you know, missing training camp, taking some time, like just maybe not. We haven't seen him find his rhythm, right? And look, he scored a bunch of goals. He scored more on the power play for the goal totals that he's had. But we all know there's more in there. And you know, maybe part of this is just going to have to be making do with the line. Like, I would expect as we get much closer to the trade deadline than we are today that, you know, we'll be talking about forwards that the Leafs might trade for. You know, I could see that being a need or a desire when we get into March. But in the meantime, you know, it's internal options and you know, try to make do. And obviously the guys that are paid the big checks, you know, they might not have a perfect line. I think is probably the truth is that, you know, you're going to have to produce maybe without that being as ideal as we'd like, just because of the nature of the cap and the way the Leafs have spent their money.
CJ, you just mentioned, you know, trade and all of that. I know trade deadline you mentioned specifically, but, you know, the Leafs are 20 games in. A couple other teams are at 20, some others at 15. But we're getting to this U.S. Thanksgiving type of scenario where you start to hear trade chatter. Maybe teams that are out of it start to shop some players. Are you seeing any pickup in the chatter kind of on the back channels?
Oddly, it's funny. I made a few calls today to these people, and it seems really quiet. You know, I don't want to kill our trade deadline coverage for the next 3 months, so I won't go too far down this, you know, path. But what's different this year, right, is the salary cap didn't go up from last year. And so, you know, you go to your Cap Friendly or Puckpedia or whatever site you use. I mean, half the league right now is in LTIR, which is not normal. I mean, there's always teams there, and the Leafs usually have been one team that's operated basically right at or above the cap with how they've done things. But, you know, you've got a half a league doing it now. And so there certainly will be trades. It's going to be the kind of trades we're used to with players on expiring deals, you know, basically going to rental type situations. But, you know, it feels, and it's a little early to predict this, but it just feels like maybe this will be a year that it's tougher to make those trades because everybody has cap issues. And, you know, so that I hope isn't the case. I know how much fans like it. It's, you know, it's a fun day for all of us, and it gives us something to talk about as we get into January and March this year. But, you know, it doesn't feel like a whole lot's going on, to be honest with you, Noodles. And you know, I really think that the fact that no one's got money to spend is a huge, huge driving force behind that.
Yeah, well, and there's a lot of teams obviously up against the cap. And to your point, there's no guarantees the cap is going to adjust that much in the future. Like, are you hearing anything on that front, CJ? The fact that the buildings are packed and you would believe the owners are making money again. And I know they took a big bath like everyone else. But when they came back and locked in this cap, I believe they said 3 years, and then they'll talk about starting to boost it. Is there any chance that could be adjusted, and next year all of a sudden it's up $1.5 million, $2 million? Could there be some wiggle room in the off season that we obviously can't expect between now and the trade deadline?
Well, my understanding of the deal, the players and the owners reaches that it'll go up by $1 million a year as long as they make a certain amount of money for each of these next few years, basically until the players pay back the debt they owe the owners from the pandemic. And that will probably take a number of years. And so I think, you know, next year will be 82.5, and then the following year, 83.5, 84.5. You know, it might not only crawl to 85 before we actually see that debt repaid, and you know, maybe there's expansion teams coming in then. I think there's a lot of things the league's going to have to do to try to really, you know, turbocharge revenues, and maybe we see a big jump from 85, say, to somewhere in the 90s. But, you know, it's basically the Cole's Notes version of it is it's not going to go up too much too soon. Just $1 million a year, which, you know, does buy a little bit of breathing room, but it's not a ton league wide. And, you know, I think it's going to be a hard time to be a free agent if you're not a marquee guy. I just think that we're going to see the trend towards more short term deals. And, you know, because we're now truly in a flat cap environment where you can't even pretend, okay, this contract is tough, you know, in year one and year two, but year three, it'll be fine. I mean, there's just too much uncertainty to say that that's going to be the case.
Well, Chris Johnston, our TSN hockey insider, the obligatory Vancouver Canuck check-in question, where they lose again last night 1-0 to Chicago, and feels like everyone's just waiting for a shoe to drop. Like, they sent out that press release with Travis Hamonic going to the minors, and when I saw it come across my email, I'm like, here we go, something happened, you know, either the coach, the GM, something happened, a big trade. What's your understanding of the day-to-day operation in Vancouver?
Well, it's a mess. You know, I think that that's evident to see with the way the team's playing, with what's gone on there. I think that there's some question about who's aligned with whom. Now that the stuff's hitting the fan, I'm not sure that it's all lined up. Like, you know, the GM might want to make the coaching change, but maybe the owner doesn't want to, you know, pay the coach that's just, you know, got a 3-year extension after last season. To allow the GM to do that. And so I don't really know what that shoe is, but I'm feeling it the same way you are. And clearly, you know, they're looking at all those changes. I don't think anyone could be surprised at this point if both or one of Jim Benning and Travis Green were fired. It really feels to me, guys, like where the Leafs were at when Brendan Shanahan came in. Like they've just gone so far down the road with the people that are in charge. They obviously have good players and good young players, but they've got a mix that's bad. They got roster construction issues. They obviously have some coaching challenges right now. You know, their star center is not performing at a normal level. I mean, the issues are not, there's not one fix. And so, you know, I think that there'll be a big clean at some point. It's just, you know, it's also a pandemic, right? That's the difference, is that this is real money that's owed to those people. And so I think the owner would probably rather hold on to them and have them see that turn around rather than pay them not to work and pay someone else to fix the mess. But that might not be possible.
I need a briefing here on, this is kind of a new term for me.
Uh-oh.
When people say there's roster construction problems, I need more of like an in-depth explanation of what the hell that actually means. Does it mean guys are playing like crap, or does it mean bad signings by the GM? The old roster construction is being tossed out a lot lately, and I want to get to the bottom of it, CJ, what the hell it means.
You're not over me referencing the dipping sauce, so now you're throwing the fastballs up and in here.
The dipping sauce was a low curve right at my ankle that hit my ankle because I just can't. I can't deal with dipping. It grosses me out watching people. I can't do it. I can't watch someone. No, nothing. You cannot put a piece of pizza in a sauce. It's not a McNugget. Anyway.
The awesome thing is, if I was eating pizza with you, I would not be worried then, because I know that you wouldn't be dipping, and I would just have free reign on that sauce for double dipping and triple dipping. It'd be great. But, okay, I'll go right to the point with roster construction. They have too much money paid to players that aren't performing well enough. Their whole bottom six last year was making tons, right? And so they got rid of those players.
Okay, they're cleared out. So what's the roster construction problem now?
Well, they had to take on other players to clear those guys out, right? Like, it wasn't, they didn't get better players. I mean, they're moving around deck chairs on the Titanic. And so I think the roster construction issue is, like, we can debate, and I know we will at some point, about what the Leafs have done, but their top four paid forwards, and obviously they have moments where they're not as good as other times, but like, those are the best four forwards on their team. I mean, they're at least devoting money to the right places. And I think that, you know, in a salary cap world, if you have too much money going to the wrong players that can't really make a big enough difference on a nightly basis, you're going to have issues that are fundamental to the way you built your team. And I think they have fundamental issues. I mean, I don't have the page in front of me, but if you want to call me after, we can go through it. And I just feel as though they're not one trade away from fixing this. You know what I mean? Like, I think that it has to be a bigger overhaul that they go on, because they've just given out too much bad money. Like, look at their blue line. Quinn Hughes, to me, is like the only guy that does anything on their blue line. You know, they signed Tyler Myers to that deal. I'm just going off the top of my head. Like, the Tucker Pullman contract, like, I just think that they made so many mistakes.
Well, they picked up Ekman Larson, but even if you don't like him, the problem is you don't have
flexibility. Am I living under a rock,
Noodles,
or isn't Ekman Larson a good player? Like, guys have been
dying
to get Ekman
Larson. He's a good player, but they got him at $7 million, and they got him for multiple years. So what CJ is saying is there's no flexibility. They went from, I wouldn't say bad contract, because I like Ekman Larson. I think he's an upgrade on Edler. But roster construction, how about you come back to, is that core group in Vancouver good enough? Like, you know, I like Demko, I like Hughes, and I think Pettersson has a chance to be a superstar in this league. They haven't done it, and that's where CJ's saying they've spent a bunch of money on these guys that aren't living up to the contract, and then you've moved deck chairs around, bringing Garland, and I like Garland. He's probably been one of the more consistent players for Vancouver, Miller, but Miller seems like I don't know how you guys feel, but he seems pissed off all the time because he's the only one of the only consistent players out there that battles hard every night for them. So It's, I think it comes back to the manager and his AGM. They've had how many years?
I just think, guys, I think everybody plays the blame game. It's guys not playing good enough. If Pettersson was leading the league in scoring, and if Hughes was regarded as a top D in the Norris conversation, and Demko was lights out playing like Darth Vladar and Markstrom in Calgary, then we're not talking about roster construction. Roster construction is guys not playing good enough. End of story.
So you are blaming the players versus the management there.
You go dip your pizza sauce in your pizza, your Canadian pizza.
I think, can it be both? I mean, I hate to be so pragmatic, but I think it's a combination. I think Jim Benning as the GM, it hasn't worked. I mean, let's be honest. It is a mess in different areas. But Pettersson, this is not even close to good enough. Like, not even close to good enough. Besser hasn't been good enough when he's been healthy. Quinn Hughes has got to develop more defensively. He's got to grow. He's got to put muscle on. You know, Demko's numbers haven't been great. They haven't been great as they've been, you know, even last year. So, I think it's a combination of both. But you can't get rid of all the players, so the GM's going to have to go. And the question is, do the Sedins take over? Do they want that pressure? Like, you want to take over a mess with a market that loves you but hates the team? That's tough.
Now, guess what? Their whole legacy, if they go in there and put a turd in their shorts, the whole market turns
Call Trevor
on
Linden
too.
Up. Call Trevor Linden up.
Yeah, ask him. But I think Linden just... Go ahead. Oh, sorry.
I just think when you do that, it's like it's not fair to them to bring them in there right after. It's like they need someone to work with. I don't know why they'd want to get involved anyway, man.
Well, they're out there now.
I think Trevor Linden ran for the hills. Like, I think he didn't like what was going on there and said, I'm not putting my name on this. And I think if the Sedin brothers come in, the first thing I would do is hire a veteran manager. I would look and see what Jimmy Rutherford's doing or somebody like that.
But the owner's going to say, you're the guys now. You know, like this owner, I don't think he wants to spend, like Jim Rutherford's not coming out there for $500,000.
No, I'm not, but you got to spend money to make money.
They should get Jim Rutherford.
Yeah.
I agree. Like, I think veteran managers help, and then you have young guys, if the Sedins want to head down that path to be a president like Shanahan, you know, what Joe Sakic did, like Mario, like, then they can oversee the situation. But to me, they need a veteran manager in there that can come in and take a look, a forensic look at that whole organization, because, you know, what do they have coming? What do they have coming from the farm system? That type of stuff. Like that's what you have to look at. Because the Leafs, they sold out, you know, a lot of their farm players, a lot young players, because they were retooling, and now they're in that window right now. Edmonton was drafting and developing. Calgary, same thing. Like Winnipeg has drafted and developed very well, if you ask me. And now, what is Vancouver? They got to find a way.
It's not going to be with this team, though. Yeah, no, but you bring up a good point about Rutherford. You know, that could be the option. And maybe Sedin's, maybe they want to be Shanahan. You know, that might be the plan.
Yeah, you got to surround them, though. Like, it's too much pressure, too much they don't know if you threw them in there now.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there, CJ. Get after that dip, man. Fire away.
I wish I could have some tonight. Now I've worked myself into a frenzy.
Yeah, you will. At some point this week, send us a text, send us a pic. Vids or it didn't happen. We need to see this. Thank you,
buddy. Can one of your wives call my wife and invite her out so I can get away with it? That would be great, guys. Thank you.
Happy to, because then that means I can order and I'll get after and we'll both do it together over FaceTime. It'll be glorious. Thank you, CJ. There's Chris Johnson, our TSN Hockey Insider. Yeah, roster construction, Vancouver Canucks. I think it's a combination of, both the team not playing well, the players not playing well. Yeah, and the GM just not doing a good job. I mean, it's abundantly clear. I think it's a combination of A and B. That's where they're at.
Well, and O makes a good point. If their top players were playing, you know, anything close to their capabilities,
dude,
probably have a few more wins.
If Pettersson's dialed in noodles and Demko's lighting up the league like they did in the bubble a couple of years ago.
I don't know how. If you guys watched that game last night, now they put up 40 shots on Fleury, but they're 6-on-5 at the end of the game. Like, I could have told them exactly how they were setting it up. It was Hughes to Pettersson one-timer. Hughes to Pettersson one-timer. I'm like, you got Garland on the back door. You got JT Miller in the bumper position. Like, mix it up. Like, the way they defended it, it was just like, okay, get in the lane. Fleury just challenged Pettersson. Like, I don't know what was going on there, but it was the most predictable 6-on-5 I've seen in a long time. And that's just a lack of creativity with some skill on that in that scenario.
Right. Yeah. Well, Flower's putting together a couple of runs here. Like he's coming alive.
Back in the Olympic conversation.
I would think he probably is. Yeah, he might just be.